Morning, you should be happy. It's the Lord's Day. You need to forget about what's going on. You know, there are a lot of, you know, negative things going on. Just focus on the Lord. So, good morning. How are you doing? Good morning. Let's bow our heads. We're going to ask God to be with us this morning as we open His Word. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for giving us this beautiful day. A day that we can just put everything aside and focus only on you. Please allow us to have open minds, open hearts, so we can receive your word. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. I see many faces that I have not seen before, and I want to welcome you to the Glendale Seventh-day Adventist Church. And as you can see, today is a special morning, a special day, because we are focusing on Adventist education. And if you have never heard about it, I'm going to tell you more about it this morning. As you can see right here next door, as a part of this church, there's a school that offers Adventist education. And for that, I can ask the question, what is Adventist education? Some of you might raise your hands and say, I know the answer, but just I'm going to ask you to wait. Please wait a little bit. And let's see. Now, where do really the real education begins? Let's change a little bit and let's focus, or let's try to answer, where do education begin? And for that purpose, I'm going to ask you to open your Bibles. We're going to be using Bibles. And as you have your Bibles, I'm going to ask sometime for some of you to read. So make sure you have your Bibles. You're going to help me. By the way, I'm not here to put up a show. But you're going to help me, you know, delve into the Word. And there's a story on the book of Exodus. And if you can open it, you're going to find on chapter 1, there's a story of a miracle baby. His name was Moses. And this baby was in danger because Pharaoh decided to eliminate all the babies. The Israelites were having too many babies. So the Egyptians were kind of concerned. Uh-oh, there are too many of them. We better eliminate some, or at least, you know, cut the birth rate. And that's why Jochebed, remember Jochebed on chapter 1, decided to do something for that precious baby. By the way, the Bible says that Moses was beautiful. It was a cute little baby. Imagine a baby. And Jochebed saw something special on Moses. So she decided to do what with that precious baby? Hide him. Okay, in the river. And you can see, I can picture my head, you know, little Moses, you know, rocking back and forth in the water. And Moses' sister was in charge of, you know, looking after the baby. Until the queen came to the river to take a bath, and suddenly there's a baby, there's a noise, a baby crying. Oh, what am I going to do? You know, well, you know, God has a plan. And God's plan was for Jochebed to take care of Moses. Not the queen. Amazing, not the queen. Moses could have received the best education in Egypt. He was going to be taken to the finest school in the empire. But God said, nuh-uh, that's not good enough. I have a better plan for Moses. So the queen decided to give the baby to this Israelite. And I don't know if she knew it was, you know, the mother of Moses. And allowed Jochebed to teach and take care of Moses until he was how old? Do you remember? How old was Moses? 12. Imagine the early years of his life. He was just receiving everything from his mom. Can you tell me now, were those years important in Moses' life? Oh, yeah. If it wasn't for Jochebed, Moses probably would have been somebody else. and we probably wouldn't have his name on the Bible. But it was because of Jochebed. Let me move on. I don't have time. I have to move on. What about Jesus? Now, the perfect example. Did Jesus go to school? Yes, he did. Of course. He was homeschooled. Homeschool, of course. Mom was Jesus, you know, teacher. And Joseph was also part of the teaching and as a carpenter. I would have loved, you know, having some piece of furniture from Jesus. Imagine the finest, perfect piece of furniture made by the perfect carpenter. And Jesus learned from Mary. But not only he wanted to be at home, he wanted to be at church. Do you remember when he was also 12 years old and they went to Jerusalem? Jesus decided to stay. He left his parents and he went to church. And he spent time, you know, delving into the Word. That was Jesus' priority. That's all he wanted to do. But he got it from, not because he was God himself, but he got it from Mary and Joseph at home. So tell me, where do education begin? Home. What are your kids doing at home? If you have kids, what are they doing? Are you spending time doing worship time with them? When they wake up every morning, are they going to the TV and just turning the TV, watching whatever? What are they getting? Who's educating your kids? Uh-oh. Are we just allowing others to educate our kids, or are we in charge of what they are receiving? Sometimes I question myself, uh-oh, what am I doing? And that is scary. If we remember also, do you remember Hannah? Hannah was a woman that could not conceive. And God gave her the chance to conceive. And she promised God that that little baby, that boy, his name was Samuel, was coming back to serve, you know, the Lord, to serve God. And 1 Samuel, you can see the story. Samuel went back and worked all his life for God. And God spoke directly to Samuel because of Hannah's decision before he was even conceived, before he was born. Now let me ask you, moving into, we have talked about, you know, in the past, in our Bible, stories that already happened. What about today? What is Adventist education? I'm not talking about Christian education, you know, as a general term. I'm talking about Adventist Christian education. Why do we spend money on Adventist Christian education? And let me tell you why. Number one, and it's not, this is just one tiny little piece, it's academics. Because our kids, and you, please don't be afraid to say amen, our kids are the results that we're getting, they are on the 70th percentile of the whole nation. The kids that come to our school are 70% above other kids, not actually above, it's 20 to 30%. 50% is the average. Everybody who goes to public school and private school, that's 50%, that's the average. Our kids are on the 70th percentile. Oh, you're not getting it. You're not getting it. Come on, wake up if you need. Okay, 70%, it's a lot. That means our kids are getting the best education, quality education. Second reason, our kids, 90% of them, the kids who graduate, they go into college and get a degree, at least a four-year degree, a bachelor's degree. 90%. Wow. So we have professionals. If you come to our school, we'll guarantee they're going to keep going and going and going because the education, it doesn't stop here. And we know, I don't care if I die tomorrow, I'm going to keep learning in heaven. Education never ends. Doesn't matter how dumb you think you are. Because you're not dumb. Plus, our kids get more scholarships and support, you know, for college. But our schools do not offer only academics. Our goal is, the focus is also on character development. Character development means that our kids will be viewed as a whole. Not only the mind, not only their abilities, but as you know, we are spiritually, you know, mentally, and we are physically. And all those three combined is who we are. And as Adventists, we believe in those three as a whole. Now, do you remember a few years ago, maybe some of you can help me out, there was something going on in, I believe, Pennsylvania. There was a school district that decided to incorporate an intelligent design concept into their curriculum, science curriculum. Anybody remember that? I was driving down I-17 when I was working at a different school district, and I remember hearing on the radio about this thing that was going on in, you know, in Pennsylvania. And later on, I found out that the case was brought to the federal court. Anybody remembers? Some of you are like, yeah, I think so. I can't remember the specific name of that lawsuit. But there was a lawsuit, and this case was brought to the federal court. Now, the outcome, because of time, the federal court ruled that teaching intelligent designs in a public system is unconstitutional. Teaching God on a public system is unconstitutional. Do you understand what's going on? Do you understand the times we're living? That is what our kids are getting. God is not in the picture. I'm not making this up. Just go back, year 2005, and I believe it was the month of October, November, when this happened. And you're going to see what I'm saying. You're going to find out. Now, let me tell you about my personal experience. What did I get when I went to public school? Public schools are great. They offer so much. They have whatever you want. As a teacher, teaching in public school, I needed textbooks. I needed resources. I had it. I remember having all this beautiful technology, blackboards, having those smart boards, and teaching my kids. And they were so excited, and I could see the results, and it was great. But I knew that my fellow teachers, my other co-workers, were not teaching the same thing, the same way I was teaching. And what they taught was influencing the kids', you know, view of God. But let me tell you, when I was a student, I remember I had a small group because, as you can see, I have an accent. That means that I came from someplace else. So I learned. English is my second language. And when I came here in 1989, I went to middle school, to eighth grade. My parents couldn't afford. We were brand new here in the U.S., so I was placed in a public system, public school. And I had a group of friends that came and started inviting me to a lot of the fun things that they were doing. Let me tell you what those things were. One of them, I remember, carry something right here, and I still see it. It was like a small bag. It was white, which it was tempting, you know, when I've never tried this. What is it? But I've never did. So they had something which was drugs. Second, they always got together and stole some of the beer and, you know, alcohol from their parents. So they were just drinking. When they were 13 years old, they were just having fun every afternoon. Now, what else? Well, some of my friends, and I remember George. George was big guy, huge. Well, I was always kind of short, but he was big for me. And I remember that he was actually having fun with his girlfriend, you know, having sex. What's wrong with that? 13. And they came and knocked on my door. Hey, Gus, come on over. Let's have fun. What would you say? What would your kids say if their friends are inviting them to try all these things? And out, you know, outside our church, it's very easy for those kids to get into sex and drugs. So I'm glad that my home and my first years, you know, at the academy, at the school, I was able to get the fundamentals, the base that helped me say no to any of those things. But it was hard. It was very hard. And I'm telling you, because I went through those. Let's see what the Bible has to say. Now I'm going to ask you to open your Bibles. Please, open your Bibles, and I'm going to need somebody quickly to read 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28. Can somebody find 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28? Loud and clear. Now, you see there's a list. Pum, 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 pum. It's a priority list. Do you see? I don't know if you notice. I don't have anything against doctors, but doctors are down the list. Did you notice that? I shouldn't say this, but doctors are down the list. Now, where are teachers? Oh, that means that we are third on the list. That means that we have more responsibilities. Somebody, James chapter 3, verse 1. James chapter 3, verse 1. Wow, we are going to be, not many of you should presume to be teachers, my brothers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. That's what I have. We who teach will be judged more strictly. We are, as a teachers, we are expected to be higher. You know, we are expected to give more, and that we will be judged according to what we teach. Are you getting the picture? Are you kind of half awake, half asleep? Are you getting it? We're teaching. We're preparing. Not only to this world, but the world to come. That's why Adventist education is so important. And Titus chapter 2, verse 1 says, you must teach what is in accord with sound doctrine, which means that we are teaching an Adventist lifestyle. We're teaching at our school, and we're keeping an Adventist culture. Not just any Christian, but we want our kids in church. We want them involved in church. There's no difference between the church and the school or home. And I'm hoping that's the case. So we want to be the same because we want our kids here in our church in a couple of years. Because statistics show that 90% of the kids who are here in the school, they stay or they have in mind that in the next 10 years they will remain in the church compared to those in the public system. In the public system, kids usually stay, you know, decide to stay like 50% of them remain in the church. We don't want to lose them. I need to hurry up. I'm going to avoid that clock. But we also have our main focus at our school, which is Jesus. Our focus is draw kids to Jesus himself. We want to show them his love. We want to show them his gift of salvation. We want them to accept his invitation to be saved. As Matthew 11 verse 29 says, come unto me and learn of me. That's what we're doing in our school. We want our kids to have a strong relationship with Jesus Christ through us.
on the book of education, on page 19. I'm going to read. There's a passage from the book of education. And says, as he, the Adventist teacher, awakens a desire to reach God's ideal, he presents an education that is as high as heaven and as broad as the universe, an education that cannot be completed in this life, but that will be continued in the life to come, an education that secures the successful student his passport from the preparatory school of earth to the higher grade, the school above. Amen. Do you say amen to that? We're giving them passports. There you go. You have a ticket. Just get on board. Because you know what? We're going to be in heaven soon. And you know what? I want to see your kids over there. I want to continue over there. I want to be able to open the science book over the textbook over there in heaven. I want to be able to read with Jesus and finally understand so many things. And I want to do it with my students as well. That's why we have Adventist Christian education. I'm going to invite Mrs. Howard, our newest addition to our school, to come and present a little bit of what our school is all about as well. And we have a short video presentation to show you why our school is so valuable and how your support will make our church stronger. So, Mrs. Howard, thank you. If you can come.
Go ahead. Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Good morning.
My name is Andrea Howard, and I've been asked to share with you some of the results of Adventist Christian education. I am a product of Adventist Christian education, and I am very thankful that my parents sacrificed so many things to send my brothers and I to Adventist schools, from elementary all the way through college. And my mother, who's sitting right there, has many stories of how the Lord blessed them to do so, surprisingly. But I'm going to wait for that for another day. I recently learned some interesting facts regarding the results of an Adventist education, and I'm going to share them with you. Also, we're going to see a video regarding the cognitive genesis study that the conference did for the past 3 years to see just what was going on in our classrooms. First of all, did you know that 1 in 4 schools in America is a private school? Did you know that 1 in 9 American children attend a private school? Did you know that more than 80% of graduates of Adventist high school successfully complete college degrees, compared to 14% of public high school graduates? Did you know that of students who apply for admission to medical school programs, 34% of those attending Adventist schools are accepted, compared to only 9% of public schools? I think we're doing an awfully good job. Those are just a few facts that I learned about this past week that I didn't know anything about. Now what we will do is show you the video regarding the cognitive genesis study.
Hello, I'm Dick Dirksen, and I want to talk about our children. As part of my job as storyteller for Maranatha Volunteers International, I travel to 4 continents where Maranatha is busily building or improving campuses of Seventh-day Adventist schools. The United States, India, Ecuador, Mozambique right now. At each school, I meet incredibly gifted teachers, expectant parents, and successful students, many of whom are now sending their own children to the new school we're building. Wherever there's a Seventh-day Adventist school around the world, the church grows, and the economic status of the families improves, and our students, they become leaders in their communities. However, when I come home and share those success stories with friends in the United States, I often see frowns and hear this question. Well, that may be true in the rest of the world, Dick, but here in North America, aren't our children better off in the public schools? Folks give me four reasons for that belief. Number one, public schools are bigger. Number two, public schools are better academically. Number three, they're cheaper. And number four, aren't they more respected than Seventh-day Adventist schools? Those are reasons many of us have heard and used for years. To find out the facts, La Sierra University, my alma mater, with the cooperation of the North American Division Office of Education, is leading a research project that is studying 35,000 students who attend Seventh-day Adventist schools in the United States, Canada, and Bermuda. 35,000. Those are kids in grades 3 through 9 and grade 11. It's one of the largest research studies on Adventist education and the first large-scale study ever done to measure the academic effectiveness of Adventist schools. The study is called Cognitive Genesis. It's already in its second year. There are two purposes to that study. Number one, to determine how students in Adventist schools are doing academically when compared against national norms. Number two, to find out what factors could be related to their achievement levels. Now, in order to find out how students in Adventist schools are doing, we wanted to compare our students to national norms. Now, this includes students in public schools, private schools, and parochial schools, and all of that on nationally recognized achievement tests. That way, we can determine whether students in Adventist schools score higher or lower than the national norm or national average on those standard achievement tests. As you may know, I'm a photographer and a storyteller, not an expert in academic research. But here's where I get to introduce you to a team of experts, researchers from both La Sierra and Andrews Universities who are doing specific analysis of our students' achievement. That study is called Cognitive Genesis. They're treating the data confidentially, adhering to strict ethical standards, and in addition to comparing our kids' achievement against the national norm, the team is also studying 100 other questions you would be asking. How achievement relates to other factors like the size of classes, how much teacher contact there is, what about parental involvement, what about students working together or working individually, what about the spiritual environment, and many, many more. Here's what they've discovered so far. First, students in Adventist schools score higher than the national average. Number two, students in Seventh-day Adventist schools achieve above their personal predicted achievement at every ability level, regardless of the size of the school, regardless of the number of students in the classroom. Let me try that another way. Here's what Cognitive Genesis demonstrates. Students in Seventh-day Adventist schools score above the national average in reading. Now remember, the national average or the national norm, that includes students in public, private, and parochial schools, all of whom took the same standardized tests. Another one, students in Seventh-day Adventist schools score above the national average in math. Students in Seventh-day Adventist schools score above the national average in language arts. Now that includes reading, writing, and knowing how to express yourself in English. It's getting repetitive? Be glad, because it's true. Students in Seventh-day Adventist schools score above the national average in social studies. Students in Seventh-day Adventist schools score above the national average in science. And students in Seventh-day Adventist schools score above the national average in sources of information. Now that includes knowing how to use a library and how to Google information on the web. But wait, there's more. The results are the same for small schools and small classes. The results are the same for large schools and large classes. Ah, but you say, my child is different, unique. It's probably true. But since you want the very best academic experience for your child, here's the point that will really excite you. According to the standardized tests, students in Seventh-day Adventist schools achieve above their personal predicted achievement at every ability level. And there's still more. When children go to a Seventh-day Adventist school, they are academically successful, even beyond what their ability predicts. Add this Cognitive Genesis information to what we have already learned from the previous Value Genesis studies, and you quickly see that students who attend Adventist church schools are more likely to have a positive spiritual experience. They'll develop social skills that will help them succeed and lead both in their church and community. Now, when I ask people, why do you send your children to an Adventist school? They usually give me one or more of these three reasons. I send my kids to an Adventist school because I want my kids to grow up as dedicated Seventh-day Adventists. And so I want my children in an Adventist environment all through their school years, a place where our values and our spiritual commitment are modeled and encouraged, a place where faith and learning are integrated. Another reason, we send our kids to Adventist schools so they will find Seventh-day Adventist spouses. And Adventist schools are certainly the best places in the world to begin looking. The third reason, it always includes academic excellence. They say something like, I want my kids to have the best teachers who will help them learn the knowledge and skills that will help them be successful in life. Well, let me stop you for just a minute. I talked to an Adventist teacher this morning. You know what she said? I believe that your child is one of God's kids, and I want to be sure and give your child the very, very best. Bring them closer to what God made them to be. That's one of the biggest reasons to send your children to a Seventh-day Adventist school. Teachers like that who transform kids' lives. Now, the Value Genesis studies, they confirm the first reason. Cognitive Genesis, all the research is providing new affirmation for the reason about academic excellence. Your local Adventist church school may well be the best school in the world for your child. And that leads me to challenge you with five action steps. If you're a parent or a grandparent with a school-aged child, make sure they're enrolled where they have the very best chance of success. If you're a pastor, make sure every child in your church can attend your Adventist school. The partnership between Adventist churches, Adventist schools, and families is the most powerful evangelism tool you have. If you're a student, say thanks to your teacher. And if you're a teacher, keep up the good work. If you're a member of a church board or a school board, do everything you can do to ensure the continued success of your Adventist school. Dedicate worship time to celebrate the success of your students and teachers. Communicate the Cognitive Genesis results to your local school and church. Tell the parents about the advantages of an Adventist education. Ensure that your Adventist school receives all the support it needs. Our students, they deserve the best.
Dear Lord, I want to thank you today for the blessings you've given us and our children. May we all take this message we heard this morning to heart and set our priorities straight. Please bless our school this year, Lord, that all we do will be to your honor and glory. In your name I pray. Amen.